Is there anyone in the room or who may be listening, following us online, who would dare to be a saint? Is that something that you aspire to be, a saint? Who would dare to be a saint? Do to others as you would have them do to you. And you'd recognize that as Luke 6, verse 31, the very last verse of the gospel reading that we heard a few minutes ago. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Today is All Saints Sunday in the church, and All Saints Sunday is what is generally called a movable feast. And All Saints Day is actually November the 1st, followed by All Souls Day, November the 2nd. But for practical and other reasons, when some of the saints' days fall in the middle of the week, and it's probably a little more feasible in the church to look at Sunday worship as a time to celebrate that feast day. And so today, the church celebrates All Saints Sunday. And we focus on the baptized people of God, living and dead, who are the body of Christ. In the parish, we are also celebrating the baptism of Truman, who has been faithful in his attendance at worship here at St. George and Young, and has been prepared for his commitment today. I would like to publicly thank all who walked with Truman over the last little while, all who have prayed for Truman, all who have encouraged Truman. We are generally familiar with the saints of the Old and New Testaments from biblical times, but the church has also named saints from all over the world, and they include people of different nations, different races, and different languages. But it is quite difficult to define the exact criteria for sainthood. And in a recent discussion with some friends, I overheard several comments about the process for naming saints in our time to make someone worthy of public veneration. And we know that some parts of the church go through a process of what is called canonization, and we won't go into that today. But saints are usually people who have been faithful, who have made sacrifices for others by their deeds, and were willing to allow God to use them for his purposes, even risking their own lives in the process. For a moment, however, I invite you to think about someone you will call a modern-day saint in your life. Which family member or friend would you nominate for sainthood? I had quite a time responding to that question myself, but I concluded that my first choice of a family saint would be one of my great uncles. We called him Dada. Call him Dada as a sign of respect. He was a devout Christian who sang on the choir and was involved in a men's fellowship of the local Moravian church. And in my context, growing up in the Caribbean, in my particular context, the Moravian church was well respected by people like my great uncle Dada, because the Moravian church was the first Christian denomination to take education to the freed slaves at that time. And so many, including Dada, did not go to what they considered the established church at the time, the Anglican church, but identified with the local Moravian church. For in his opinion and the opinion of many, they were more grassroots with the people. But Dada was an independent fisherman by occupation, And he has explained to me on several occasions why he became an independent fisherman. He sold his fish every day. And one of his practices was to put aside his offering for the church every Monday from the first catch of the week. Every Monday he would put aside his offering for the church. One Sunday afternoon I visited Dada. I was on my way home from Sunday school and I wanted Dada to know what we had discussed that day. So I said to him, "Dada, fishermen like you follow Jesus." I thought I would impress him. I just learned that in Sunday school. He looked at me and replied, "Good, you're reading the Bible." Now, I wasn't really reading the Bible. I just picked that up and wanted to impress him. But as I grew older, I realized a lot about Dada. He was also the peacemaker in the family. I can go on and on about Dada. My great uncle Charles Brazier, a devout Christian, a faithful steward, a humble person, and a peacemaker. Now, I'm sure that you all have people in your lives who are your own saints, people who have made a distinct impression on you, and those who would get the highest approval from you, I'm sure, for sainthood. They worked faithfully and tirelessly in their own context, carrying out the responsibilities of servanthood in a diligent manner, day after day. And we do have some saints in the making here in this parish. Not as many as we would like, because as usual, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But that's another conversation. What does it take to be a saint? We can certainly get some ideas from the gospel reading, can't we? Because Luke tells us that after Jesus chose his disciples, he started to teach them. And here in this reading today, he talks about who are holy and who are ungodly. And then he invites his disciples to show love, to show forgiveness, to show generosity, and to show trust. This passage of scripture, and there's a parallel passage in another gospel, is often regarded as a dissatisfaction with the values of the world. Dissatisfaction of the values by honoring the meek, those who are hungry, and those who are disadvantaged in any way. This passage of scripture and the parallel in another gospel is often described as a code of ethics for the disciples and a standard of behavior for all Christians. We believe that Jesus is clarifying his expectations of discipleship, what it takes for sacred living, and what is required of any one of us with a desire to follow Christ and to live like him. It is clear that Jesus was teaching his disciples about kingdom values, which are different from earthly values. By encouraging his disciples to show humility instead of pride, to show compassion, modesty, generosity, kindness, to share with others, and to be faithful instead of showing weak commitments. One explanation of sainthood that I've heard and which resonates with me is that saints point others to God by their life and example. Saints point others to God by their life and example. So now that you've heard some of the criteria for sainthood, do you still want to be a saint? Well, Jesus encouraged his followers to do to others as you would have them do to you. This is often called the Golden Rule, and this idea appears in one form or other in the teachings of many faiths and many religious groups. Furthermore, Jesus reminded his disciples to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And you recognize that as verse 27b of the gospel reading. So my friends, my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, can we practice reconciliation instead of revenge? Can we show mercy and become peacemakers? If we can, then perhaps we are heading in the right direction for sainthood, aren't we? A long way to go for some of us, but a start anyway. Because we acknowledge that saints are people of different circumstances who show their love for Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they bring help to the needy, justice to the disadvantaged, and the reassurance of God's forgiveness to those who are sorry for our offenses. They serve people in their time and are examples to God's people throughout the ages. Truman, you have been faithful. You have prepared and you have made the decision to be baptized in the presence of these witnesses and those who are joining us virtually. We can assure you that we'll continue to pray for you. We'll support you. And we'll encourage you. And not only the people who are present, but others who are part of the body of Christ, the church. So today we pray sincerely for you, Truman, as Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians in that second reading for today. We pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. From Ephesians 1, verse 17. So three closing thoughts for your consideration today. First of all, we are persuaded to look at life through lenses like fairness, social relations, and accessible resources for all. The gospel reading reminded us that we must share resources for all. Secondly, these disciplines taught by Jesus will help us to shape our Christian identity and lifestyle as true disciples of Christ. And in baptism, we take an important step in faithful service to God. And this is what Truman will be doing today. And thirdly, the good news is that God is always faithful through our good times and our bad times. And for me, this is important. We don't have to be perfect to allow God to use us to do his will. Just keep going, and God will shape us as we go along. For God makes saints out of sinners, and that includes you, that includes me. So my siblings in Christ, as one body, may we follow the example of the disciples and all the saints who have gone before us, and may we recommit our lives to Christian service today, as we renew our baptismal covenant to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. These words I speak to you in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. And God's people will say, Amen.